And that is what happened to Adam. He, after he listened to the serpent, listen now, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. No, as I said to you last week, when God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, prior to this, the Bible doesn't say that, but we know that he had that relationship with God. Am I correct? Before sin entered the world, they would have this communication. Am I correct? A beautiful, awesome, that surpasses any communication that we can have in this world apart from being with God. They had this wonderful communication with God. There was no gap. There was no what? There was no gap. They had this bond with God. Am I correct? Yes. So he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife. What the word the Bible use? Everybody turn to that passage for me. And tell me what the Bible use. What verb the Bible use. Listen again. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? Everybody read that word for me. What it says? Hid themselves. No, what do they think they are really doing? No man can hide himself from God. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. That's what sin allows us to do. When we are sinning, we're hiding ourselves from God. We looked on that last week. So they hid themselves in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, this is a powerful question. This was a question we examined last week. And the question was, where are you? Where are you? And it's not just a physical. Normally when a person asks you, where are you? You will say, well, boy, if I come to you, or Brother Michelle come to you and say, Michael, you sit right and I say to Michael, where are you? I say, Brother Gilbert, fooling man. That stupid man. He doesn't say me in the building. Where are you, baby? Brother Gilbert, you're really losing it now. I'm in the building. But sometimes when that question is asked, it's not to find out where you are physically. But where is your state of mind? Where are you? I've asked that question even of my students in class. I might be teaching a topic, and I see a lot of time these students, you know, brother along, start a daydream and do all kind of things. And I say, where you are, man? Where are you? I know that it's inside the classroom. Am I correct? But his mind is not here in the classroom. It's the same thing with us as Christians. Where are you? You might be inside a building, but your life is not what God would want it to be. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Michael? Where are you, Brother Gilbert? Where are you, Sister John? He's asking each and every one of us that question tonight. And it don't make any sense we put on a facade of holiness. If we know that we are not living right, we need to make it right. Where are you? You can't be looking at your neighbor for that answer, you know. The answer is for you personally. Where are you? So we saw that question last week. And Adam feebly answered, I was afraid because I was what? Naked. And I hid myself. He put himself in more hot water though. God said to him, who tell you that you were naked? Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not what? Eat. All along, in the first sin, is always disobeying God. Because we see things our way. Satan made them see things in a different way. Sin is essentially deception, you know. Because anytime we want to do anything that we want to do,
We put a different what? Version on it. Am I correct?
Yes. We did all the time. When we want to, and we see it all the time, even in the world that we're living in now. Years ago, somebody would be ashamed of saying that they are homosexual. Am I correct? No, they call themselves pride, am I right, Earl? Some pride thing. And then the other way of justifying it, sin is essentially a deception. Because it makes you want to do, it makes you don't, you don't see yourself how God sees you. You see yourself the way you want to see yourself. So they put together now even a body of doctrine now to justify homosexuality, you know. A body of doctrine. They have a next one they call transsexual. That they never born this way, they born that way, or something like that. That put a body of doctrine on that to justify their behavior. They are deceiving themselves. Sin is essentially a deception. Even religious sin is a deception. Moral sin is a deception because you want to see things your way and not God's way. Am I correct, church? Yes. It's essentially a deception. Essential deception. You might be out of the church, you deceive yourself that everything is fine with you. Am I correct? You're backslidden, but you tell yourself all is fine. Am I correct? Yes. It's a deception to make you see things a different kind of way. And that's what the serpent did in the Garden of Eden. We saw that last week. Now, the third part. Well, for the official third part, Brother Pierre, we will talk about that later. No, I know what Brother Richard is talking about. That's a tie run out of you, Brother Richard. The third part. Now, turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 has a very interesting question. The lesson that's just started, that God has asked of us. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, stop. Read it again. Everybody read that little part for me. Verse 10. Read for me, please. And Moses said unto the Lord, stop. This is the context, Brother Mitchell, where God called Moses. What did God do? He called Moses for a particular task. And that was to rescue the children of Israel out of Egyptian what? Slavery. He called Moses. Listen very careful. And Moses put up about 3 or 4 or 5 excuses. The excuses last as long as the entire chapter 3 and chapter 4. Can you imagine a man arguing with God? But we do it all the time. Am I correct? We do it all the time. We put up the excuses all the time why we can't do certain things for him. Am I correct? Yes. So in verse 10 now, Moses, I choose this one because this one now is where God asks a question. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since you have spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech, and I have a slow tongue. Let's examine this passage very carefully. You would say now that the man must know about himself. Am I correct? Yeah, man. Moses must know how he says. He must know what he says. He's talking about his essential personality. The essence of his personality. Many times, as Christians say, I saw this here. We can't change. You ever hear me talk like that before? But I'm saying, that's how I am. I cannot change. No, what he's saying here, listen to the verb he uses. He said, Lord, oh my Lord, I am.
The am is talking about the being, the person's being. He says, I am not eloquent. So he put himself in a negative frame of mind already, Earl. So he says, I'm not eloquent. Neither heretofore, I've never been eloquent. I don't know myself like that. I don't know myself like that. I don't know myself like that. I'm not that kind of person. I can't talk. The first time I faced an audience in this church around the communion table, I sweat like a gallon of sweat. That's true. And I couldn't even look up at the audience. My palm was sweat. I think probably I was so drenched in sweat, I was nervous. I couldn't look at anybody. No, I'm talking to you from here. You can be like me too. Don't tell yourself you can't do certain things. Don't tell yourself that. And that's why the Christian God going to ask him. Because God is going to say to him now, look at verse 11. And the Lord God said unto him, everybody read that for me together. That question. Who hath made what? Man's mouth. Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? So although you think you know yourself, because you're born that way, and you say to yourself, I am not eloquent. I've never known myself to be eloquent. I don't make up that. That's not my makeup. That's not my essential makeup. I am not eloquent. But somebody knows more about you than you yourself know. And that is the Almighty Creator, God the Father of the universe. He knows everything, and he knows us. The inner being of us. He knows the inner makeup of us more than we know ourselves. He knows our very motive for doing whatever we do. Although it might look normal to us, but he knows why we do certain things that we do. Even in the classroom, I found that, you know, a student will ask you a question, but they don't ask a question sincerely. No. Even in the classroom, human nature is the same everywhere. They don't ask a question sincerely. Because they want to find out something. It's something they want to show up or do. Some sinister motive they ask when they ask certain questions. Christ fears the same thing. When Christ was doing his mission, people asked him questions. And they never really want a true answer. They just want to catch him. Am I correct, church? Yes. So what made man's mouth? Or who make it the dumb or deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? No, after God asked him the question, look at verse 12. After God is not going to accept any excuses from us. Whether he's a Christian or you're not a Christian, he's not accepting any excuses from us. Because he says now, verse 12, now, after question, you know, wait for the answer. You know. Listen, verse 12, now, therefore what? Go! Go and do what I tell you to do. Do you see that, church? No, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth. Everybody see that? You know, every time I be with you, you know, he pick up what you say, what Moses said couldn't do. So he said, go, I will be with your mouth. I am the one who made you. Everybody who I make, I have a purpose for them. Even the dumb. That's why I'm paint out the dumb thing, Moses, you know. Even the dumb I can use. Even the deaf I can use. Even the blind I can use. Those who see I can use. I can use you too. So go, and I'll be with your mouth, and I'll teach you what you are to say. Everybody see that? No, church, talk to me now. Let's talk. There are certain needs that we have in the church. Let nobody, and you have everybody as talent, use the talent that you have. Because God made the dumb and God made the blind, and they still can do something. So whatever talent you have, God can utilize you. Don't just stay like that and just dry up like that in the church. Be active in the church so that you can, God can utilize you more and you get more out of the grip of Satan. If you are not a child of God, you know, so God can use your life. God can use your life. First, he's going to save you. Am I correct? He's going to save you from the peril, the danger. He's going to save you from the danger. He's going to use your life to save others. Yes. You have to have that confidence in God. Now, we know that we have an all-knowing God. Look at Psalm 139. We want to look at the God that we have, the God who has made us, in terms of what he knows about us. And in verse 1 it says, O Lord, you have searched me. You know me. Thou knowest my what? My down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest. Listen to this now. No. You understand my thought afar off. We are talking, church, about God. We're talking about God. He understands our thoughts afar off. As you sit and listen to me tonight, he's understanding everything you are thinking about, what's going on here now. He understands everything that you're thinking about. And he understands also, like what Moses was doing, excuses. He knows the excuses you're bringing up. He knows that too. So he understands my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with some of my ways. You sure that's what it says? Yes. You are acquainted with all of my ways. All of them. You can't fool him at all. You can't go into a honeymoon with God. That'd be like honeymoon. Before the person married, right? Brother himself, they keep certain things away from the partner. And then when the marriage comes, they are the fault and so. And they say to each, I don't love you anymore. Because the honeymoon period is over. You don't have an honeymoon period with God. God knows everything about us. And he knows that we are sinners. He knows that we are that premium product, you know. And still he loves us. Because even in the garden, remember the garden story with Adam? And I said last week, even though he put them out of the garden, he made a promise to them, Brother B. A promise that the Savior would come. Remember that passage? That he's going to bruise his knee and you're going to crush his head? He made a promise, even in the midst of that. So he knows everything about us. Look at verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue. There is not a word in my tongue. But know, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Then the writer says, such knowledge is far wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Read verse 7 and 12 for me, Fabian. Then 13 and 14. 7 to 12.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit?
I can't go anywhere from your spirit.
Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?
I cannot flee from your presence.
If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there.
Yes.
If I make my bed in hell, thou art there.
Yes.
If I take the wings of the morning,
yes,
and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
yes,
even there shall thy hand lead me,
yes,
and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me,
mm-hmm,
even the night shall be light about me,
mm-hmm,
yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day.
Yes.
The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
Are both alike to thee. We can't hide from God. There is no way we can go. We sit here, we sit on nice and pretty in our benches and whatever, whatever. But God knows us. He knows our inner being. He knows everything about us. Look at verse 13 and 14 now. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's what? Womb. Is it from when he knows your Fabian? I will praise thee, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. This is the Creator that is calling you. When he called Moses, Moses put a lot of excuses. Same say, who make your mouth? I am saying to you tonight, come to him. And I'm not just saying come to him to the sinners, you know, the alien sinner, you know. I'm saying come to him even for us. Come to him if we were not living to the challenge that he has put us to. We sort of, we were watering down that challenge that we had before him. We water it down tremendously. Stop watering it down and come to him. For him to make that transformation. Start living the life that he wants you to live. Stop making excuses. And if you are a person who is not a child of God, stop making excuses. Our God is all-knowing. Look at Matthew 10 verse 30. Everybody turn to that one. Matthew 10 and verse 30. He is all-knowing. Read it for me.
But the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
No, I want you to think of God's knowledge. The knowledge that he has, Brother B. We are inside here now, and God knows each and every one of us inside this building. But listen this now. This is about the knowledge of God. God knows every hair on your head is numbered. He knows exactly the number. He knows every cell in your body. He knows it. That's why the psalmist said he can't attain it. The knowledge of God. Everybody inside here, God knows. But everybody in Patrick City, he knows. Everybody in Jamaica, he knows. And he knows everybody, the number of hair on each person's head. If you look on the floor, you might not see it, or you might, when you go outside, you might see an ant. Just an ant, Brother Michelle. God knows that ant. Am I correct, Brother Michelle? That's just the power that he has, that power. No human being can attain that kind of power. He knows the ant outside there that we just walk and step on. He knows the ant. He knows and is present at the same time at the depths of the ocean. Scientists tell us that it takes how much 1,000 light years to reach the other universe. God is already in that universe. God is already in yesterday as he is in today. When I step up here at the pulpit, it was just a few minutes ago, God was there and he's here now, and he'll be there when I sit down. His knowledge is just awesome. No human brain can attain to that kind of knowledge. Scientists discover everything day and night. In the Sunday school class I had some months ago, Michael, in the adult, when I was taking it for a while, scientists discovered, I don't remember the name of it now, but a new organ. Can you imagine, Brother Michel, after all these years, they discovered that man as an organ, he didn't even know he had it. And they don't even know the full purpose of that organ. Now, with all that technology, they just discovered that organ. It's on the internet, you can read about it. So there are many things about us that even we don't know about ourselves, that God knows about us. God knows our capability. He knows what we are capable of achieving.
Many years ago, he saw this young man, this young boy running in the country. He was a very playful young boy, you know, running around in the country with his friends. And that young boy is now Brother Mitchell. And God knew, Brother Mitchell, that you would have been here today. God knows everything about you, you know. He's here today as he is in Israel. At the same time, with everyone, his knowledge is just awesome. That's the God that you are going to have in your corner. On your side, when you decide to become a child of his. Am I correct? Yes. And with that God on your side, there is nothing you can't do. Nothing you can't do. The talent that you have, he will use that talent. Don't tell yourself you can't do it. Find out now. Find out your true capability. Find it out. You have not found it out yet. Find out what you really can, what you are good at. Start with what you are very good at. If you are good at inviting people to church, start with that then. Invite them. If you are good at, you are very good in socializing, and therefore you can handle tracts. So read this now. And you are very influential in that way. Start with that. Start with what you are good at. But don't give God any excuses. He wants your life tonight. He wants you to become a child of his. He wants you to follow the steps of salvation. Believe in him. Repent of your sins. Confess that Christ is Son of the living God. And be what? Be baptized for the washing away of your sins. And if you're a child of God, don't watch other people. I keep telling you that from last week and week before. Don't watch other people. Step forward and give your life to God. Don't watch. What are they going to say about me? So what? God is the one who you come into, not them. And if they are saying things about you, something wrong about them. Come unto me, Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn about God. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're going to stand now, and Brother Bean is going to give us the invitation song. Brother Bean.